The message tonight is contentment. Contentment. This is something that I probably struggle with a lot. It's something that I see all of us struggle with quite often, is being content. And the Greek word is perikomeno. Perikomeno. And what they're saying when they say that is, I am sufficient. But I don't think about being content as being sufficient, you know? If I was going to go out and play sports, I wouldn't want somebody to be like, he's sufficient. You know what I mean? That's why I'm just filling the spot. You know, what is that? Is that a C minus? What is sufficient? But the Greek word means that it's the standard of what is it that we need, really? You know, and that's they do that on purpose. Because I think in our mindset, we kind of want that A game. You know, every time you talk about me, I want you to think about me as A+. Every time I do something, I want my record of everybody to be A+. Whatever house I got, car I got, girl I got, money I got, it's got to be A+. Right? But that's not the meaning of contentment. And from the Greek word, originally from the Bible, was I'm probably massacring it, but it's perikomeno, which is, I am sufficient. And it's interesting to think about that, because what am I doing with my self-esteem today? Now, I think a lot of us have self-esteem and pride issues. You know, most people that I talk to or counsel always have pride issues or self-esteem issues. A lot of times it's escalated self-esteems where I'm too cool, you know. I'm the man, period. You know, and you can't, it's hard to break that pride that I'm already the man. You can't tell me nothing. You know, you can't break that wall down. And the other half of the people are just low self-esteem, and that they simply just can't let yesterday go. And I think we covered that in the Word many different times about God saying, come all ye that are weary, weak, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, as Jesus saying, all of us can come to Him no matter who we are or what we have or where our mindset really is, and we will receive rest. And so we're going to kind of play the idea of this contentment. Webster's dictionary, first one, is an adjective, and it's the state of peaceful happiness. Now, I have to ask us today, personal question. When was the last time that you felt that you were in a state of peaceful happiness? A state of peaceful happiness. Then the second one is a verb, just to satisfy. And the thing we talked about maybe 7 weeks ago, we mentioned about Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, so are the hearts of men. What we've seen is there's a gap in sin and want that cannot be filled, so are the hearts of men. And he says, just like that, sin can never have enough. Like, you look at technology today, and it's amazing. It is amazing. But there's a lot of technology being used that's really not going to benefit us spiritually. You know, I mean, they're creating ways to better prostitute, creating ways to, you know, just do anything you can possibly think of that none of us would really think of it as godly. But then they're also using technology today to save lives and stretch lifespans into the hundreds. Whereas, you know, for years, like even when I was a kid, the lifespan of, you know, a normal grandfather was in their 70s. You know, my grandfather died when he was 70. And I figured, you know, nobody figured I was going to make it to 26. But I mean, praise God, we got the big 4-0 somehow. But to satisfy being a verb. And then the third one was a state of satisfaction, which is a time of content. And I like this, to think about this, because all of us can relate to a time in our lives specifically when we were content. It may be back in your parents' house. It might be, I can think of times in prison where I was content, because I understood my circumstances. Amen? I was familiar with what was before me and behind me and around me. And I had to teach myself to handle myself in an environment to tell me to chill out, because if I wasn't, then there's consequences, right? So we have learned behavior to teach ourselves to become content in any situation. There's soldiers who fought battles who lost toes and feet and legs and still went to war. I was reading a book about this guy that went in World War II. They shot him like 17 times and he still pulled like 11 people out of the battle to safety and saved them. You know, I mean, you think of the power that we have to control who we really are and what we really can do, opposed to the mindset of simply just not being satisfied. And I think that's what the case is. I think this is the issue. We will not allow ourselves to be content in many different circumstances when we're free, because there's so many things available to pull us away from the truth. There's so many things. Anything you want today is available outside of the church. Amen? Right? It just is. And so I watch, you know, Dave drive off in his truck, and I want a truck, and I see my neighbors are always upgrading, working on there, and I don't ever get to do this, and you know, everybody else has everything that I don't get to have, and then it just stirs in me, and we go back to the beginning. Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, nor is the hearts of men. Because the fact is, the guy that you're looking at is looking at somebody, is looking at somebody, is looking at somebody that's got something, because nobody has anything that they want, because true contentment is in faith in Christ. Amen? That's the only way the void can be filled, right? I can never get high enough to not have to get high tomorrow. Amen? Mm-hmm. Anybody ever use a drug that they're still high on from 2 years ago? Or did we wake up and use it again? Or wake up and drink it again? Or wake up and do it again? Amen? Is it a sin that's slightly exciting for me right now that I'm kind of getting into? It's dragging me. It's hard for me to put it down. But I keep getting into it. I keep finding myself into it. But I know in my heart I don't want to do it. But it's pulling me to it. And then Paul wrote, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And I witness myself who wants to do good, do the things that I don't want to do. And I wonder about this. And I think, you know, why am I the one who wants to do good, witnessing me, the one who wants to do good, do the wrong thing? Why do I do the wrong thing, right? You ever ask yourself that? Mm-hmm. And think about that. And it's just part of this whole system where there is this void where when we get caught up outside of our faith is when we can be drawn into all these different temptations to try to just fill that void, whether that be vodka tonight or a girl tomorrow or a paycheck next week or a cut corner or whatever high I'm on. It's only going to suffice for that momentary period until I got to do it again. Amen? Right? Yes or no? Because if that wouldn't be the case, then I wouldn't return to that. In Proverbs, he says, you know, like a dog that returns to a vomit is a man that repeats his folly. And what he's saying is that you have to stop and think about what you're choosing to do. As disgusting as it is for a dog to puke up his whole dinner and suck that right back down like it just got cooked again, is as bad as me returning to the sin that's pecking at me. To God, amen? Mm-hmm. And it's just so disappointing because his attitude is always, come to me, ye who are weak and weary laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, you're not good enough for me. He didn't say, you can't come here because of your shortcomings. He said, all that are weary laden. Amen? That's amazing. And I think that a lot of that is just mindset of contentment, the lack of contentment. So today we're going to talk about a few different verses that we have in a very small amount of time. And it says, all who are under the yoke of slaves are regard to their masters as worthy of honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. These who have believers as their masters must not disrespectful to them because they are brethren, but must serve them all the more because those who partake in the benefit of believers are beloved. Teach and preach these principles. If anyone advocates a different doctrine, and doesn't agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of a depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness is actually a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought about nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out either. But those, if we have food and covering, with this we shall be content. So the expectation in the beginning, and this talks about a lot of different aspects of things that I could touch on for a long time. But due to time, I'm just going to focus on my main point out of this. He said, what do we bring into this world? Amen. How many of us brought a brand new car into the world with us?
I did.
Bruce, get out. Anybody else? Right? Yeah. All right? Nobody. We brought nothing into the world. And he said, you will take nothing out of the world. We were given what we truly have. That's our spirit and our ability to form a relationship with eternity. That's what we can grasp and that's what we can take. The fact of the matter is, all of these different things that are straying us from the truth, dragging us and tempting us, because many of us are still Christian men. We're just drawn to temptation. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're not saved or not saved, and we don't really need to iron that completely out during this conversation. But the fact of remains is that there's all of these different things that continue to sidetrack us, and the fact is that I came in as a physical man with a spirit, and that's all I get to take with me when I leave. I don't even get to keep the physical man. So the dust returns to the dust, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Amen? So what is all of these things around us that continue to draw us away? Friendships, money, status, pride. What are these things that eliminate our ability to be content, to cause us to choose to do something that's outside of us? You know what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of times, I think I did that too, where I just was not content. I remember a long period of time in my life that no matter what you said to me, I would not be at home at night. I could not sit at home at night. I would not. I'm going to the casino. I'm going out with my boys. I'm going out. I'm doing whatever I got to do, but I'm not going to be at home. I had a family during that time, you know? Now, I remember that discontentment or that need that drew me away. You know, I'm so excited today to actually be the opposite. You know, you almost have to force me out of the house. You know, I mean, you know, I think this was almost too far the other way. You know, I make it home and it's like, hey, you want to know? Hey, you want to go? Nah, don't want to do anything. I just want to go home where I'm safe, where I can chill, and I can just stay away from all that fast-paced temptation. Amen? I like it, but he says now, and I this is tough right here. Constant friction of men depraved of mind and deprived of the truth who suppose that godliness is a means of great gain. This is one of my pet peeves, where people use the word to benefit them in some way, shape, or form. I see this a lot on television. I think that you guys are familiar with that. Mm-hmm. But it's also like those of us who have gone to church for several years and just sat in the pew on Sunday and did the rest of the week exactly what we wanted to do and used God as a retirement program. Whereas, you know, you saved, oh yeah, I'm saved. I go to church. I go to church every Sunday. I'm a good guy. I give to charity. You know, I'm raising good kids. I go to the little events that they got going on. You know, I do everything I'm supposed to do. And so this is great gain because I got this retirement program in front of me. And so that's incorrect. He said they're depraved and deprived. So first of all, I'm deprived. I don't even get it. I'm depraved means I can't get it. I'm not going to get it because I'm not looking for it. But then he comes back and says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. It's like being on guard, you know, and he finishes it with the fact, if I have food and I have clothing, then I'm content. Amen. That's his standard. But what's wrong with me then? Amen. Right. How high is my standard compared to his? Right? It's true. I have one. I'm convicted by this. Are you not? Right? How many times have you found yourself dissatisfied after you were already fed and clothed? Yes or no?
Yeah. All the time.
Right? That's what we're just being honest. You know, that's what Elvis was saying. He's saying, be real. I don't care if it's bad, if it's happy, if it's sad. Just be real about it. Amen? We should be able to put it right on the table and look at it. Whether I'm willing to address it right now, focus on it, touch it, manipulate it, whatever it may be, at least I can just be honest with who I am and where I'm at. Because then I'm real. As long as I continue to tell myself that what I'm facing isn't real, then I can't address it. As long as I'm not willing to admit to myself and all you guys who and what I really am, I can't get it out. Amen? Because I'm hiding it from you, but really, I'm hiding it from me. Because I like this idea of this padded lifestyle where I get to go and do whatever I want and still use godliness as a means of gain, but not great gain because I'm not content. Amen? Now, I want to go to Luke chapter 3. It starts getting deep. This is awesome. Luke 3, 10 through 14 says, this is, the crowds are saying to him, then what shall we do? And he would answer and say to them, the man who has two tunics shall share with him who has none. And he who has food is to do like the wise. And some of the tax collectors also came to be baptized. And they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to. And the soldiers came, questioned him, saying, what about us? What should we do? And they came to him and said, do not take money from anyone by force, but accuse no one falsely, and be content with your wages. And it is just talking about being honest 24 hours a day. I mean, you know, you go through the drive-thru tomorrow and they give you an extra $10 change. Give it back to them. Tell them their drawer's short. It sucks. I would have liked to have that extra 10. Amen. I'd like to think of it like it's a blessing. But at the end of the day, I'm here to do what's right. Or much, much more deeper scenarios that we can get into with that conversation about finances and dealing with others, right? Being honest to everyone that we deal with in the good faith that God is dealing with them too. Because can you imagine a society that we walked out that was all honestly connected to Jesus Christ? What a different world that would look like. But you being the Bible that somebody may only read, may only see, shouldn't you be that example? Amen? And if we're called to do that, which we're going to get into in the next few weeks, it's going to get really deep on that. I don't even want to go there yet. I'm going to turn left. Here, I got one for you in Haggai. He says, consider your ways. This hit me hard. This really hit me hard from where I came from and where I'm at today. Haggai 1 through 11. This is the Old Testament. He says, in the second year of Darius the king, the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while the house of the Lord lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one's warm enough. And he who earns wages to put in a purse with empty holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring the wood and rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with it and glorify the Lord. For therefore you will look much better. But behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because my house lies desolate while each of you runs to your own house. Therefore, because the sky has withheld its dew and the earth withheld its produce, I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, and the new wine, the oil, of what the ground produces, on the men and the cattle, for all of the labor of your hands. Now you think about this and living that lifestyle against the grain. Because I don't know about you guys, I'm 40 and I promise I probably did 30 against the grain. I got added up technically, but I'm guessing pretty darn close estimate that I put a 30 piece in and I'm still alive, praise God, of doing this. And I always ask myself, why is it that I make such progress, huge gains, but can't show anything for it? Anybody else can relate to that? Yes or no? And I found this verse and I thought to myself, why is it that I get so far ahead and just get so close and think that I'm right there and all of it continues to get taken away? And God writes it through His prophet right here and says, consider your ways. This is such a powerful verse. Listen to 6. You have sown much but harvest little. You eat but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink but can't get drunk. You put on clothing, but you're not warm enough. You earn wages, but you put into a purse with empty holes. How many of us are familiar with this? Lack of contentment, inability to succeed. He said, I knocked you down because you leave me desolate. Because God's a gentleman. At the end of the day, we all have the free will to choose to do whatever we want to do. But circumstances sometimes can cause us to learn or continue to go against the grain. But see, if I keep building myself up and failing, building myself up and failing, building myself up and failing, and I don't stop for 1 minute and just say, do I deserve a true opportunity to succeed? Do I really deserve one chance to the people that love me, the people that depend on me, the people that I've hurt for 30 some years deserve to see one time me be accountable? Amen? He said, consider your ways. And that's me. That's me just being me. I'm being honest. And so if you go into the last 10 years now where God might be just working on my life, I can assure you that I'm still convicted by this message. But you can see an absolute progress that has not yet been knocked over. Amen? So I would be willing to argue that because God is in my life now, I still struggle. I still learn. I still have to try. I still have to work on myself. But I'm getting somewhere. I'm not riding down the bottom of the roller coaster anymore. Amen? Things aren't completely throwing me off my game. I have things established to the point where no one's coming to take it away. And I don't have to look behind my shoulder when I turn down the street. And I'm not afraid. I can sleep at night. Amen? Think about it. Consider my ways. And that's what he put here. In Proverbs, that's Psalms. Proverbs 10, 1 through 5, it says, ill-gotten gains do no profit, but the righteous delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will thrust aside the craving for the wicked. The poor is who works with the neglected hand, but the hand of the diligent makes himself rich. So he's saying ill-gotten gains don't profit. So, and I think that a lot of us have become to understand this, that these shortcuts aren't shortcuts anymore. Right? They're not shortcuts anymore. One of my shortcuts awarded 45 some years. It was no good. But he says, but the righteous is delivered from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger. But you see, we strive so hard today to move forward and we think that we're doing what we need to do to get by. We think we're making the right decision because that's what's necessary to make it today. But in reality, God said, if you just come to me and consider your ways, I will not allow you to be hungry. Wow. So you're telling me that I could just stop all this craziness and turn to the Lord and slowly learn to be content and then become satisfied. The hole can be filled. Amen. In Hebrews 13:5 through 21, which we got enough time for that, but I do want to point something out. He says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with whatever you have. For he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What will a man do to me? If the creator of the universe sat back and said, I want you here specifically, and all I want you to do is trust me to provide for you. and I can just somehow push back all of these other temptations and focus on this faith and this gift from God. And he turns back and says to me, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you, so that I can learn to confidently say that God is my helper and I won't be afraid. Amen. There's the power of contentment in knowing that I may not necessarily have the answer right now. But if I'm truly walking the walk, God has got my back and that door is going to open. It's going to open because he said it is. In Philippians 4:11 through 13, it says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. And I think that we talked about that. He says, all things in Christ can be content. In 2 Corinthians, he says, well content with suffering. You know, when I am weak, then I'm strong. And we are absolutely going to look at that because we think of ourselves a lot of times like we're suffering. You know, we're going through it all the time. We're going through it. This is 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. This is Paul. He's a monster. He's one of my favorite. 2 Corinthians, what did I say? 12, 7 through 10. All right, here, check this out. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell within me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, insults, distress, persecutions, for difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And the one thing that he began to understand is when we, all of us know this, when we're succeeding and doing really well, we have a less tendency to turn and maintain our relationship with God. Some of you guys say you're getting off house arrest, you know, I hope that I'm going to do well, I hope that I'm going to do good. Even more so would be the time to draw near to God. Because as these stipulations continue to release themselves from us and the freedoms begin to come our way and the temptations can continue to come our way, then we're strong and we make this decision, we're making it on our own. Whereas when we were suffering on house arrest or suffering through our charges or suffering through our circumstances and all this pain and frustration, we relied on Christ. And Paul, being in extreme duress, prayed to God diligently three times, just take this pain from me. And God said, you are fine, for it is my grace that is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Because when you're weak, then you are strong. Why? Because when I'm weak, I'm relying in Christ. When I'm broken, I'm relying in Christ. And when I'm in Christ, that is the strongest I could ever be. Whereas if I'm physically strong without Him and successfully fine without Him, then I'm weak because then I'm just another mortal man building up my wall and tearing it down to consider my ways again. Amen? Because success is not financial. Success is spiritual. Amen? That's deep. He said, I'd just rather just brag about the fact that I'm suffering because it brings me closer to God. That's such an amazing theory to get to because I can say with my own selfish 2016 been padded 17. Huh? Yeah. Made it another year. We all did, right? Many of us can't say that. But I said my own padded lifestyle. I just, it's hard to wrap myself around that. Amen. You know, I'm still complaining about the alarm clock going off at 5:00. I'm still complaining about 3 hours of driving. This dude's like, I'm going to suffer every single day and brag about it because it makes me closer to God. That's amazing to me. We're going to skip all the way to the close here and then I'll set you guys free for the evening if I can find it. All right. Romans 8. 35 through 39. And this is the thing that I really want you guys to catch. He says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? will tribulation, will distress, will persecution, or famine, nakedness, peril, sword, just as it is written, for your sake we are be putting to death all day long, and we are considered sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, than any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There's nothing here. There's nothing here that we can go through. There's no circumstance, no past, no future, no present, no issue, no unresolved solution. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Not everything we've done ever, if we just choose to accept Him. Nothing can separate us from that love of God. And it is the love of God in us that creates contentment, which is a means of great gain. Amen. All right, let's pray.